All right, good afternoon, everyone. This is the Wednesday, January 8th, 2020 session of the Portland City Council. Carla, could you please call the roll?
Fritz.
Here.
Hardesty.
Here.
Udaly. Wheeler.
Here. And Commissioner Udaly will be with us in just a moment. We'll now hear from legal counsel on the rules of order and decorum. Thank you.
Welcome to the Portland City Council. The City Council represents all Portlanders and meets to do the city's business. The presiding officer preserves order and decorum during City Council meetings so everyone can feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe. To participate in council meetings, you may sign up in advance with the council clerk's office for communications to briefly speak about any subject. You may also sign up for a public testimony on resolutions or the first readings of ordinances. Your testimony should address the matter being considered at the time. If it does not, you may be ruled out of order. When testifying, please state your name for the record. Your address is not necessary. Please disclose if you are a lobbyist. If you are representing an organization, please identify it. The presiding officer determines the length of testimony. Individuals generally have 3 minutes to testify unless otherwise stated. When you have 30 seconds left, a yellow light goes on. When your time is done, a red light goes on. If you're in the audience and would like to show your support for something that is said, please feel free to do a thumbs up. If you want to express that you do not support something, please feel free to do a thumbs down. Please remain seated in council chambers unless entering or exiting. If you're filming the proceedings, please do not use bright lights or disrupt the meeting. Disruptive conduct such as shouting or interrupting testimony or council deliberations will not be allowed. If there are disruptions, a warning will be given that further disruption may result in the person being ejected for the remainder of the meeting. After being ejected, a person who fails to leave the meeting is subject to arrest for trespass. Thank you for helping fellow Portlanders feel welcome, comfortable, respected, and safe.
Very good. Thank you, Carla. Could you read the first item, please, which is item number 20, time certain.
Approve funding recommendations made by Children's Levy Allocation Committee to renew the Community Child Care Initiative for July 1, 2020 through June 30, 2023.
Colleagues, I'm pleased to introduce the next item, which comes from the Portland Children's Levy, asking us to approve a $5.1 million three-year agreement with the Community Child Care Initiative. The Child Care Initiative provides child care subsidies for working families, as well as support for culturally specific child care networks, including Somali, African American, Latinx, Spanish-speaking, and Slavic. If approved, the levy funding will continue to support more than 300 children with annual access to affordable, high-quality child care. The service is vitally important to many parents and families in our community, and here to talk more about that is Levy Director Meg McElroy. Along with sharing more insight into the value of the Child Care Initiative, she'll also introduce child care resource and referral staff who can speak firsthand about the program. Good afternoon, Meg.
Good afternoon. Thank you, Mayor, Madam President, and Commissioners. Before I get started, I wanted to extend my heartfelt sympathies for the heaviness that is all being held in your hearts. That empty chair is quite a presence today, and our hearts from the levy go out to all of you, your staff, and certainly Commissioner Fish's staff.
So. Thanks, Meg.
Thank you.
So I'm gonna review briefly the Community Child Care Initiative, what it does and its progress over the last 4 years, and then as the mayor noted, I'm going to introduce colleagues from Child Care Resource and Referral at Mount Hood Community College who implement the Child Care Initiative on behalf of the Children's Levy. So the purpose of the Community Child Care Initiative is to support affordable child care and high quality child care in our community, which is a priority in levy ballot language. It really works on this by two things. It provides child care subsidies to low-income working families, and it also provides direct support to five child care networks that are culturally specific, serving their specific communities. I'm going to talk mostly about the Child Care Subsidy Initiative because it's the largest part of what this initiative does. And Then I'll talk a little bit about the networks, and I'll introduce the folks who make it all happen.
Thank you.
So as I said, the child care subsidies serve working families whose incomes are 200% of the federal poverty level or less, and it helps assure that families pay no more than 10% of their income toward child care.
Commissioner Hardesty.
What is the federal poverty level?
Off the top of my head, I believe it is around $25,000 a year for a family of four. Thank you.
Thank you. So they'd have, if they made $50,000 a year or less?
With a family of four. The federal poverty level is calibrated toward the number of individuals in the household and the income that comes into that household. And I don't have all of those figures off the top of my head, but I typically keep the family of four figure in mind. The median income for a family of four in Portland is around $80,000. So these are families who are making significantly less than the median income in our community.
That's why I wanted that on the record.
Okay.
Thank you,
Commissioner. The Child Care Subsidy Initiative through Community Child Care Initiative augments the state's employment-related daycare subsidy. That subsidy is calibrated to pay for only 75% of the market rate of child care. So levy funding is helping families with the difference between what their actual child care cost is and paying no more than 10% of their income in addition to what they receive in a state benefit. That state subsidy benefit also only helps families with incomes up to 185% of the federal poverty level. So the levy is helping families additionally between that 186% of federal poverty level and 200% of federal poverty level. Providers who serve children who receive these benefits are all licensed and participating in the state's SPARC quality effort, which is a quality rating and improvement system that providers are using to enhance their own quality based on their own goals. And levy funds, like I said, also supplement state funding to provide coaching and support to five culturally specific child care networks. There are family child care businesses, small businesses looking to improve their quality too and enhance their small business practices. And in particular, the levy funds helped launch a Somali culturally specific network in 2018. So you'll hear more about that. And the entire initiative is administered at at Child Care Resource and Referral of Multnomah County. The levy first launched this effort in 2007 and funded it for 5 years when levy revenues exceeded projections at the time, and we had to cease funding the initiative when levy revenues took a decline in the last recession. At the time that it first was funded, professional external evaluation showed that it increased the quality and stability of care for the families who participated, and that providers involved invested the payments that they received back in their own quality goals. The levy relaunched the initiative in 2015 when levy revenues began to climb again. At that time, there was a $2 million commitment over 4 years to serve at least 100 children a year. In 2017, as levy revenues continued to outpace projections, the Allocation Committee and Council at that time extended the funding through this coming June of 2020, added $1 million a year, and increased the commitment to serving 300 children a year through the subsidies and providing that supplemental funding support to the child care networks, including launching a new Somali network. So current funding level that we're asking council to approve from the allocation committee is $1.6 million a year that supports over 300 children and their families with child care subsidies and the provider networks. A little bit more background. The act that governs the Portland Children's Levy allows up to 10% of funds to be spent on non-competitive grants. So this is one of those special initiatives. It crosses multiple program areas of the Children's Levy. It serves children ages 6 months to age 12. So it is both an early childhood and an after-school endeavor in terms of how levy monies are prioritized and obligated. It offers training and technical assistance to the child care providers involved, and it advances system improvement by making more child care providers available in our community. It is also particularly helpful for child care providers who are essentially small businesses in our community who would have a lot of barriers to accessing and competing for the typical competitive grants that are issued through the levy. So by contracting directly with Child Care Resource and Referral, which holds state funding for providing training and technical assistance to local child care providers and is quite versed in child care regulations, levy money going directly through this channel allows more providers to access levy resources. It addresses, the Community Child Care Initiative addresses one of the chief priorities that came out of the community engagement process that the levy engaged in. Over the past 9 months, we had, through a 9 month long community engagement process that we contracted with Empress Rules Equity Consulting, one of the primary needs identified in that process was affordable quality child care that parents can choose from and know that their children are being cared for well. And then finally, the reason that the child care initiative calibrates its subsidy to helping families pay no more than 8 to 10% of their income toward child care is because national research suggests anything above that level is cost burdening to a family. And disproportionately, families of color and low-income families experience that cost burden and are often paying more than 20% of their income toward child care. So that was an outline of kind of what the child care the Community Child Care Initiative is, and now I'm going to just review some data on progress of the initiative. These data come from monitoring reports that we get from Child Care Resource and Referral that they also submit to the Early Learning Division, Department of Ed, and then also via family survey and provider survey that we issued. So over the past 4 years, the Community Child Care Initiative has served 30% more children than it projected to. Last year, it served over 365 children. The majority of those children identified as a child of color. So the graph here shows you among all of the children served over the past 4 years, on average, almost 22% identified as Latino, 15% as African American, 12% as multiracial. The project served very few Asian-identifying children or African-immigrant-identifying children. About 2.1% identified as American Indian, Alaska Native, 30% as white, and around 80% of the data were not reported for children. So that is an area where we would like to work with the RNR to improve data collection to make sure that we understand that we're reaching our priority populations. Nearly 20% of the children served were from homes where the primary language is other than English, and over 50% of the children served reside in East Portland. And as I noted earlier, the initiative serves children up to age 12, but about 43% were in the preschool age group of 3 to 5 years old. There were 55 child care providers who participated in serving children through the child care subsidy portion of the program. They comprise about 5% of all licensed providers in Multnomah County, but they are about 18% of the licensed providers who are involved with the state's child care quality effort, SPARC. 11 of the 55 providers have graduated from and or are currently involved with those five child care provider networks that I mentioned earlier. So they are small family child care providers in a culturally specific setting, getting coaching and support from somebody who shares their cultural background and they're serving their own community. About 20 of the providers have a star rating in that state SPARC system. And on average, about 30% of the children in the child care subsidy effort have received care from a star-rated provider. This map shows you those 55 providers where they are located throughout the city. So as you can see, there's a high concentration of them in North Portland and in East Portland, a couple that are outside of city bounds, but the important criteria for us is that the child receiving the benefit is a resident of the city of Portland. This table helps paint a picture more of the financial key financial pieces that we try to understand about families and providers who participate in the program. As I noted earlier, we are trying to make sure families pay no more than 10% of their income toward childcare, and if they are eligible, they're receiving the state subsidy before they can draw down on this city-funded subsidy. As I also noted, the state-funded subsidy provides only 75% of the market rate of childcare, so it's leaving families with a pretty big hole to fill, and the effort of this initiative is to help fill that hole. And again, the state subsidy only serves families whose incomes are up to 185% of the federal poverty level. So the levy funding is trying to help families who are in that sort of next step of low income between 186 and 200%, where very few benefits are often available. So over the last 4 years, on average, the median monthly income for a family receiving the CCI subsidy benefit is around $2,100 a month. The cost of their childcare monthly is around $1,100 a month. The payment there, on average, that they're receiving from the state of Oregon is around $632 a month, and the contribution that the levy provides is around $373 a month. As I noted earlier, we did two surveys, one with families who are participating in the Child Care Initiative and one with providers. And we used questions that were used in the previous external evaluation, adapted them to make it a more quick and easy online survey. And of the families that we sent the survey to who had had a child participating for at least 6 months in the last 2 years, 54% of them responded. And what they indicated is that their participation in the program helped improve their finances, it increased their access to high quality care, and they had overall tremendous satisfaction with their experience. There is a 20-page report that accompanied the documents in preparation for your decision, and it goes into further detail about the results of the survey as well as many of the comments that families shared with us. I have two here, but in the interest of time, I'm not going to read them so that we can hear from the staff who are here to join us today with the project. Similarly, providers participating with the project also received an online survey that was 9 questions. 58% of them responded. They also indicated high satisfaction with their childcare business income during their time participating in CCI. They reported that they were using income through that program to reinvest in their own quality and their businesses. They said it substantially increased the number of children that they're serving who they're considered low income and are receiving the state subsidy benefit. And they also reported overall high satisfaction with their experience of participating in the program. The child care provider networks that I mentioned earlier are a parallel effort within the Child Care Initiative. There is sort of the subsidy piece that I just reviewed, and then the child care networks. These are two-year cohorts of 12 to 15 culturally specific child care providers who receive a coach. They have monthly meetings, they attend trainings, they create specific business development goals and quality improvement goals in the state framework, and they receive support to make those accomplishments. Four of those networks started with state funding in 2014, and levy funding allowed Child Care Resource and Referral to add a fifth network focused on Somali child care providers. And the network coordinator from that network, Muna Farah, is here to talk with you all today about her experience, and the Child Care Resource and Referral Director, Christine Waters, and the Child Care Community Child Care Initiative Coordinator, Deb Johnson, is also here to share their experience with you. So for those four networks that were originally launched in 2014, 57 out of the 58 providers participating are involved with the state child care quality effort, and 8 have achieved star ratings. The newest Somali network, as of last fall, had 16 providers who had completed 899 hours of training. 5 had achieved licensure, and they were receiving support from their coach to do so. Their coach was present during licensing visits, helping them complete and navigate paperwork, understanding what the regulations are, and building relationships with the licensing staff. 10 of those Somali childcare providers also attended a statewide early childhood conference for the first time, and their network coordinator was there to support them and also offered workshops specifically for them in their language. So with that, I'm going to conclude the Child Care Initiative is reaching the priority populations that we're trying to reach in our community. It has had high success and high satisfaction with the families and providers involved, but we do have areas for improvement where we're trying to do better by the demographic data collection, and some of the feedback that we heard both from providers and families was about increasing specific populations' access to the program, including children with disabilities. So with that, I'd like to introduce Christine Waters, Deb Johnson, and Muna Farah to come on up, and I'm going to vacate my seat so they can talk with you more about their experience, and then we'll answer any questions.
Thanks, Meg. Good afternoon. Welcome.
Hi. Hi, thank you so much for your time today.
Thanks for being here.
Thanks. My name is Christine Waters, and I'm the director at Child Care Resource and Referral of Multnomah County. And I just wanted to reiterate a couple of things that Meg said, but also maybe talk about something that isn't quite on the report and talk about how it's been, the levy funding has been effective for our program overall. So number one, the levy funding has really created some positive influences beyond things that are in the report, such as it's the first program that really took a holistic look at childcare. It's the first program that I'm aware of with public funds that looked at both the provider side, business side, as well as the family need. So providing the full cost of childcare for families also influences the childcare business. So childcare businesses are able to stay in business. They're able to keep quality staff, low turnovers, and then in effort to partner with families that helps to sustain long-term childcare. It's the first effort that giving the full rate of care to providers has encouraged participation. So a lot of programs are not able to participate with ERDC or choose not to based on heavy burden of paperwork, et cetera. And CCI providing that gap in funding has really encouraged participation, which then opens up more opportunity for families to choose high-quality care. Moving up to the 200% of poverty has helped fill that gap, as Meg said, in between the 185. To my knowledge, there's not many programs that offer resources for that income level. Also, in paying the difference between cost of care and the copay, often families have really high copays and they're working with the ERDC program with very low incomes, and so they're having to piece together child care options. Maybe they're going to grandma's for a couple hours and then they're getting picked up over here, moving around. And we know that young children really need relationships, especially early on. And so when they're able to sustain long-term partnerships with family child care, the child's overall experience is much better. The family doesn't have to panic about, did the child get where they need to be, or can they get to work on time? So all of those things are in the report, but I think are worth repeating. I think the other piece that's really important for child care resource and referral and our community is that the levy funding, as it's helped to keep our focused child care networks going, it's helped to keep set up a subsidy system that looked at different things that were outside of the box beyond the 185 full cost of childcare, those ideas. They've been able to help us leverage funds, specifically Baby Promise, which is a state-funded infant toddler contracted slot program. We were awarded 74 slots for Multnomah County with state funding. I think a lot of the reason that we brought that in was because we had this experience running the subsidy program already. We had experience contracting with providers. We had experience in partnerships and relationships with DHS. The CCI program, the way it was developed, is now informing how Baby Promise may roll out. It's informing how we make contracts and et cetera. Overall, CCI has really brought parent voice to the center of all of our programming, including leveraged funds. It's deepened our relationship with both culturally specific communities and state agencies such as licensing and DHS. I want you to hear from Muna and Deb, so I'm going to let them talk a little bit more. And yeah, I guess I'll turn it over to them. Go ahead.
Can you guys hear me?
Is it on? There we go. Thank you. Thanks, Mary.
And move it so that it's comfortable.
Thank you. My name is Muna. I work with the Somali Network Group, and I began working with them 2018, May. We meet every month once. We do a training. The training is basic, different topic every month, and the topic, once I do the training, we talk about what is culturally purpose and what is rule, like what is the role in this country, and you know what is culture purpose. So we discussed, and this is culturally, and you shouldn't do this. This is the rule you should follow. Also, I do a home visit with the Somali network groups every month. Each one of them, I go twice to their home and I watch what they do and what is culturally and what we, the rules, and they have to follow so they won't get licensing, trouble with the licensing. So I train them, this is not to do, or this is the right thing to do. I also help them navigate what they need in the system. Like most of them don't read or write, and whether it's English or whether it's Somali. So if they have a letter, help them read, and this is what it says, and this is what is the rule and what you have to do. Before I came, there's a couple of them, they've been doing a child care for a while, but somehow they didn't know how to get the license and what is the what step they have to do and what exactly they need to do. For example, one of the provider, want to get her license for a while, but she couldn't get it. Whether it's, there's a couple rules, like you have to test the water and you have to do couple class, and she didn't know, and that's what I help her navigate. And I help a lot of them, help them get their license to whether the training they need, I help them with them, and that's what And another thing they did, Child Resource and Referral Help Them, is for the first time we did the conference, and most of the provider was impressed with the conference, and it was their first time, and they were just amazed by the conference, and they're like, oh. And when I invited the conference to them, they thought it was only us, like the Somali network. Then they met a lot of different people. They see the keynote speaker, and they're just like, oh, this is a professional job. And, you know, this, and they were so happy with that conference for the first time. And the whole community started talking about it, and they knew what is just, now they feel good about their job and what they're doing. Another one was, I attended the conference, and just having somebody they know coming, going to home visit and helping them everything, is also with the community we come from. It, you have to at least trust the person to come to your house, and you know, even navigating the licensing people. And I go home with them when the licensing person doing a home visit for them. I also go with them and just navigating everything, and they just now is the everything for, they need for a child, the provider need, they just call me and I just help them with everything. Sorry, I'm a little, but that's, I think that's it.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, appreciate it.
Good afternoon. I'm Deb Johnson, I coordinate the CCI program, and I'm the person that has usually the first contact with parents about the program, oops, and gives them the application, and I also recruit programs. We partner with DHS and 211 and other early childhood programs to get referrals to our program. And I had to look at it this way for the reality of cost of childcare for me. So for a parent making $4,000 a month with two young children, at a certified family center that charges just what DHS reimburses, that would be $1,000 for a preschooler and $1,140 for a toddler. And if their rent is $1,200, that leaves them with $660 for the rest of the month for everything else. So it's already, and she doesn't qualify for anything, no food stamps or any other subsidies. And the reality for our families is, and I had a mom call this week that is over income, is going to have to figure out how to pay for childcare, where to go for childcare. We have a lot of families making about this much at $15 an hour. That's $2,600 a month for their gross monthly income. Their ERDC copay would be $581, and with our help, their copay is reduced to $260. And at $12.50 an hour, we have a large number of families at that rate also. Their copay would be $387 through DHS, and with CCI help, it's $208. So, and parents tell me all the time how much just a little bit helps. I had a dad call yesterday. We're only going to be able to help him with $27 by reducing his copay. And he said, I appreciate it. Don't think I don't appreciate that. Will make a difference to me. One mom said, a $40 savings, that's a tank of gas for me, and that really makes a difference. Families are faced with not being able to accept a job sometimes when they find out what their copay is going to be and they can't afford it because they don't have an extra $600 to pay for childcare, their first time out with a job. So we can help reduce that cost for them. Parents call all the time talking about the difference between their rent's gone up, their child care's gone up, and they have to choose between having a job or feeding their kids or paying the rent. It's really hard choices. Sometimes people get a small raise, and that puts them over the income limits for any kind of help, but their raise does not equal the amount of the loss of benefits. So they're, again, out of luck. So sometimes we can help if they don't qualify for ERDC because they got a raise at that 200% level. Early on, when we started this program, one of the child care providers said the children, a couple of children in her program, really were in desperate need of winter coats, and she was looking at resources. The mom got help with CCI, and that freed up some money, and the next month her kids came to school wearing warm winter coats. One mom had been in a, I don't know if the, I can't remember if it was her family taking care of the kids or what her childcare situation was, but she was able to go to a center and said, my child is going to learn now. She was just, she felt so good about where she was able to go that she would not have been able to afford otherwise. We had another mom who had been in recovery, and her child was in foster care. She got a job. Her copay was too high. She told me, I want to pay for childcare. I just can't afford this copay. And when, with between DHS and ERDC and the childcare center and CCI, we found a spot for her child. Her copay was something that she could afford, and her child was placed back in her care. It opens possibilities for options that they might not have had otherwise. We are also able to add new programs that qualify so people can stay in their community if they're in a childcare program that they're happy with. We don't want people to have to move just to get the help. So we've added new programs through the entire 4 or 5 years we've been doing this, which has been really nice for people to stay where they're comfortable and where their kids already have relationships with somebody. An advantage for programs is, people are saying, is collecting their full rate. Otherwise, they're forgiving it or scholarshiping it and essentially paying for the care themselves because they're not able to collect their full rate. And childcare people are warm, nurturing people, and the business suffers because of that sometimes. We also can, if ERDC will allow a number of absences during the course of the month, if a child doesn't make the number of hours for full-time, then the program can only collect the part-time rate from ERDC. So we are able to give them their full-time rate so they can collect their full fee. I know we're out of time, so.
No, that's all very helpful. Colleagues, does anybody have any questions? Great, thank you. Meg, are you going to come up and do
I
some?
I just wanted to be present in case there were questions.
Okay, great. Excellent testimony. We appreciate it. Thanks for your perspective.
Thank you so much.
Carla, do we have any testimony on this item?
With two people signed up.
Very good.
Charles Bridgecrane Johnson and Edith Gillis.
Come on up. Welcome.
Hello, my name is Edith Gillis, and it seems that the more I come here, the more I'm sharing more of my personal life and get my whole biography after a while. So I'm speaking as someone who is one of the founders of the state of Oregon and developing child care standards and a founding member of the Metro Resource Child Care Resource Referral Network, a founding member of PRO, Providers Resource Organization, to provide training and professionalism of childhood, and of course an early childhood education and child development specialist. I founded and directed a small private school in Park Rose because there was nothing existing in Oregon, Idaho, or Washington that would meet the needs of my son and children like them. I'm very grateful that the Children's Levy is one of the few programs in which voters got what they were promised. There's oversight and there's good follow-through and good results. I am delighted at some of the progress, the SPARK quality. Nothing is ever as good as soon as much as I want. It's something that I care passionately about, both in the standpoint as a parent, as a child, and a foster parent, as a child care provider, and an early child educator, and as an advocate and a mandatory reporter of children who have been abused. For example, we're talking about 10% is the copay for child care. When my family of four had a gross family income of under $8,000 a year, we did not have $5 a month for sanitary napkins or for childcare or anything else. People who are on SSI, who have been qualified by the federal government as being disabled and very poor, it's a felony if they have over $2,000 of assets or liquid assets. If you can sell your underwear, your books, your kitchenware, and it totals up to $2,000 more, you're kicked off. A lot of us who have disabilities cannot have our children have the care that they need to have. We cannot afford to work, and yet you need to have the child care in order to get the therapy, the doctors, the transportation, the training. I'm a victim of long-going chronic violent crimes. And that requires a lot more support and fewer options and ways to transport. So while I'm delighted and I want you to support them and keep funding this and promote this, I want us to also be keenly aware that it's inadequate for a lot of families. As a child care provider, I always, and as a foster care parent, I always paid a whole lot more for the children's needs than I was paid. But child care providers are not being paid enough. They're not being educated enough. They're not being trained and supported enough. Parents are not getting enough education and advocacy and consumer education. Children are not getting enough of the support. And we can't just prepare children for schools. You have to have the schools prepared for children and have better schools for them.
Thanks, Heath.
Thank you.
Good afternoon.
I used to say good afternoon, Commissioners. Charles Bridgecrane Johnson. And it's nice being here whenever the police bureau is not on the agenda, because we get to talk about great public expenditures on children and programs that are actually, this is really
actually micro-entrepreneurism. I'm not the biggest fan of capitalism or entrepreneurism, but it's good to know that a diverse spectrum of women, including Somali immigrants, is possibly moving towards living wage jobs as child care providers because of what we're doing with the money from the Portland Children's Levy. So that's great. Definitely, I look forward to unanimously passing this. One thing I think that we have to bear in mind is that, as Edie sort of touched on, the challenges facing these parents. When we heard about a foster care success story where the child went back into the parent's care and the parent was able to have child care, we also had to go through at least three acronyms to make that success happen, but at least it was a success story. So, I hope that the Children's Levy created a great 20-ish page supplemental information that's attached electronically to the agenda. I wish that could always happen here. It's great for the public, so I want to encourage anybody that's watching or listening to actually go follow the link in the agenda, find out what these up to $80 million in different six focus areas for the Children's Levy are doing. The one thing that's unfortunate is that we have to use this funding mechanism. When we have employers here like Airbnb and Apple Corporation, which can consistently afford to hire at least one police officer to park their car next to their store, that tells us that we're really not getting successful corporations to pull enough of their own weight to fund childcare. Now, I can't say that Apple doesn't fund childcare. I haven't talked to the few people that I know that work there. But the point is it shouldn't just be the Children's Levy. This city and this state need to work towards a better progressive taxation system so there's more money in the pot to fund these without having a bunch of micro bureaucracies, the Children's Levy, and all these other acronym soups that parents have to suffer through to get what's best for their children. So unanimously vote yes and keep your eye on building a better, more responsive system. Thank you very much. Thank you. Thanks for being here, both of you. Carla, does that complete public testimony?
That's all who signed up, yes.
Colleagues, any further questions or thoughts? I just want to thank Meg and the entire team and everybody who provided testimony today. I think it's great to know that there is an opportunity in this community to support working families, to provide safe and nurturing child care. And I'm also pleased to hear that there's a concerted effort to reach out to culturally specific organizations to help reach those families as well. So this is great. This is a first reading of a non-emergency ordinance. It moves to second reading. Thank you.